Getting a flu shot is one of the most important things you can do to stay healthy this year. Flu shots are available and free to University of Alabama students at sites across campus and at the UA Student Health Center and Pharmacy. Check out our schedule at cchs.ua.edu/flu shot. Call 205-348-6262 for a flu shot appointment at the Student Health Center, or walk up Monday through Friday from 4 to 4:45 p.m.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Happy Sunday, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone, and hi.
Hi, we got our mics fixed.
We did. You know, so before we started today's show, I was telling Whitney and our guests that I was listening to our radio show / podcast.
Podcast, because we are on some podcast stations.
Yes.
Like Spotify and Apple, just
yes.
Saying.
Yes. So I was listening to that, because, and then my kids were like, Mom, is that you on the radio? And
isn't
I was
cool?
Like, why, yes, it is. But I literally sounded like I was in a tin can in outer space. And so I was thinking, I was like, maybe we need to figure out our mic situation. But now,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's been fixed.
I think it's much better. But, I'm just really always loud. It's from teaching. I project so much. But I think it's much better. So we're going to have a good show.
Yes, we are. And so you probably, if you are one of our diehard fans,
mm-hmm.
you fanboy, fangirl us, like all the things, you probably noticed we had a rerun last time because I was out of town.
You were out of town. I feel like we've had to do a couple of reruns this semester, but I think that's a good reminder that life happens.
Yes.
And we just are glad we can be flexible. And we have such an archive of shows from 7 years that
mm-hmm.
we can pull from. But yeah, you're back. Glad you're back.
Yes, thank you. I know. I went to Los Angeles.
Okay.
It was for a family thing, so just full disclosure, it was my grandma's funeral. She lived a long, beautiful life, so there is all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that piece, it was really great to, for one, see family.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is the oldest of 7 children. I'm the oldest of 21 grandchildren.
21?
Yes, and then my grandmother has 16 great-grandchildren.
Man, what a big family.
Yes, and so I ended up being the one giving the eulogy.
Shut up.
On behalf of all the family. I didn't ask to.
Were you able to keep it together and stay composed?
I did.
That's hard to do.
There was definitely some tearing up. And so the people over the church, they were like, look, like, as much as you want to freestyle it, you probably really need to write things down.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I did.
Your brain might kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was super helpful. But then we also watched the Super Bowl as a family at my aunt's house. We had some In-N-Out burger.
We did.
As we
ooh,
did
that. A classic.
Yes.
I mean, California. In-N-Out burger. We did not get to talk about the Super Bowl. I know we're a little behind, but like, what are your thoughts on the halftime show performance? I have very strong thoughts about it.
The mom in me is like, oh my gosh, like, who else can be like full-blown pregnant and be performing?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's amazing and awesome. Like, who's going to top that pregnancy announcement? Like,
right.
I don't know anybody.
Right.
Like, literally.
So was that her pregnancy announcement?
Yes. So,
well, okay.
Like,
that changes the game a little.
But, like, from an entertainment perspective and what is expected of that show,
mm-hmm.
I do not think Riri should have committed
mm-hmm.
knowing that she would not be able
mm-hmm.
to, like, the choreography stuff now, like, you know, the music stuff, I forget how many hits she has.
Yeah, she had a lot.
I would have loved to have seen the full-blown choreography
mm-hmm.
that typically goes
mm-hmm.
with those hits.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, the sad part for
mm-hmm.
me. So it was
mm-hmm.
kind of like, oh, I feel you. Like, mom to mom, like, that's cool. But then from a, like, spectator, I'm like, meh, you know?
Well, you know, it's interesting. First of all, I was very unamused. The dancers were awesome. The choreography changes were awesome. But, like, for her, it just was kind of like, I was like, eh. But then when I found out she was, like, with child, I was like, okay, maybe I should, like, but let's be clear, Beyonce
yeah.
would have done something very different.
Oh, yeah.
Even being pregnant. I'm just saying.
Yes.
I'm not really a Beyonce fan. Don't kill me. But, like, I would just think that she would do more. Rihanna's not really a dancer.
Yeah.
She's not, but she's a singer.
Yeah.
And she did sing very well.
Yes.
So I was kind of like, I'm not going to lie, I was a little unamused. There might have been some symbolism in there that I was picking up on. You know, the vibes
yeah.
of Illuminati. Just saying.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yes. Well, the amount of memes that I saw afterwards that were a play on, oh, when my period shows up. unexpectedly with attitude. I was like,
with attitude. Oh, gosh.
But no, well, when we come back for our next segment, we need to rope our guest in, because I am very curious to hear his thoughts, because I think we've talked about the Super Bowl halftime show before, because I think
surely we have.
I was saying something like, oh, yeah, and then, you know, Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson, that was just a few years ago. And then he politely reminded me that that was,
and
like,
that was a long time ago. Like 2007, wasn't it?
Maybe, yeah. Early 2000s for sure. But anyway. But yes, I guess it's time for a break before we go on all the things.
A lot of catching up to do.
Yes. So you guys grab something to drink, run to the restroom, do what you got to do. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Back, you're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and we're just recapping because we haven't seen each other in a little while. Did a rerun last week and catching up on the Super Bowl and either a great performance or a lack of performance. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The spectator can choose.
We really, all the things. But
all
no,
the things.
So Super Bowl happened, like I said, was in California. I don't know. It had been a minute since I'd been on an airplane, so that was an adventure in and of itself, too. Mm. Like, LAX is always kind of crazy, security. But one thing I noticed, and y'all may have been aware of this before me, but you know how normally in the bins you have to take out your bags that have your liquids,
right?
Like, and you put them in there. You don't do that anymore.
Wonder why?
There's some new fancy technology that will probably kill us.
Yeah.
You can leave your laptops and all this stuff and the liquids in your luggage.
That's great.
For your carry-on. Yeah, so from a convenience perspective, cool, but I'm also like,
does it still have to be little?
Yes, it still has to be little. Gotcha. So that was a bummer, but, you know, you do what you got to do.
Sure.
But anyways,
We're back and we're live-ish.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we have Charles Burroughs with us today. And, Charles, you're a guest, I would say. Look, I'm not even really introducing you correctly because you've been on the show so many times. And you've actually co-hosted with me when Sheena was out. But, Charles Burroughs, welcome back to our show.
Yeah, it's almost like I never left, you know?
Right? Okay, so for those of you that don't know Charles, he's our fitness services coordinator at the rec center, and I'll let you kind of introduce yourself. I mean, like I said, you've been here so many times. I'm sure everybody knows you anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm Charles Burroughs. I'm the fitness services coordinator over at University Recreation. So my main focus is overseeing personal training and assessment. I think that's what the website says, personal training and assessment.
Yeah.
But I also oversee some of the different fitness programs that we have, like summer heat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now we're doing a personal trainer certification prep course. Mm-hmm. So a lot of stuff like that. So fitness education, personal training and assessment, all those different things. And I just realized I've been doing this for 9 years now, almost a decade. Which
like,
is
you're like, what you're like,
just
personal
fitness
training
as a whole.
Fitness.
Yeah,
that's a long time.
I've been here at UA for 5 years, but I've been doing this for almost 9 years. I've been a certified trainer for over 9 years now.
So, out of your 9 years, because I always do like these own like my own little mental, like, I don't know, I'm just gonna reflect on my life and what I've done, but like, out of the 9 years you've been doing fitness, like, have you changed your approach and your style of how you train somebody or teach somebody or view fitness in general? Because I know when we first start out, it's kind of overwhelming and you're trying to kind of put pieces together. But would you say like your philosophy's changed any at all?
Absolutely. You know, when I first got into it, it was for mostly selfish reasons, right? You know, my own transformation and my own desire to feel a certain way and look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, probably my biggest philosophical change was just looking at fitness as something that's actually for your health and something that helps you to feel better and move better and not just to, you know, look a certain way or, you know, fit into these clothes or whatever have you. So my my focus is definitely shift. It's definitely more of a quality of life thing rather than just a, you know, want to look a certain way.
Could it be because you're older now?
Probably, yeah. I hit my 30s and I was like, oh, I don't care anymore.
I'm telling you, when you hit 30s, it's like, I just want to feel good. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, I appreciate you sharing that because I think I was thinking in my head, if someone had asked me that same question about, like, has your philosophy changed? Totally. Because I think, you know, in the beginning of my career as a dietitian, it was about, like, oh, how do you eat the things to, like, lose weight and look a certain way? Mm-hmm. And now it shifted to having a healthy relationship with food while also focusing on your health and not mm-hmm. taking away from that, but being a lot more holistic about it and quality of life as opposed to, I want to get super mm-hmm. sexy for spring break, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, that's definitely, because that's the same for me. I used to teach so many cardio and strength classes, and now you couldn't pay me to teach a cardio or strength class, honestly, because as I've gotten older, it doesn't feel as great on my body, and I like yoga and Pilates, but also it's kind of nice when you do start to mature in your thinking, and especially us being fitness people, we have to kind of sift through the social media and all the stuff that kind of makes us roll our eyes like, oh God, you know. But I think that's cool.
Yeah, and you know, I think I've noticed that the people who are able to adapt that mindset mm-hmm. where it's more about general wellness and mm-hmm. feeling better, they stick with it longer, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, when your goal is only to look like this or, mm-hmm. you know, someone put on their paperwork today, they specifically wanted a bigger butt. Like, that was their goal.
I did get the request for Pilates one time. I want Gwen Stefani abs. And I was like, oh, man, okay.
Yeah. I thought you almost were going to say another word that started with an A. And I was like, wait, we can't cuss on the radio.
So, yeah, it's, you know, trying to develop more of a lasting habit. And I think it comes from developing that different mindset. Mm-hmm. So my focus as a professional has definitely changed because of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's good. And I think that's what we should be doing. And we've got a lot of years collectively mm-hmm. in this room of personal training and fitness and nutrition and dietetics. And it's kind of crazy. And it kind of brings me to, you know, our topic for today. And when we're thinking about it, you know, we're still at the beginning of the year, we're ending, you know, February, which is still very fresh for New Year's resolutions, if you mm-hmm. want to call it that, or your goals and thinking about how to stay motivated through all this. Because I feel like once we hit March, at least for us in fitness, and once we get the hump of spring break and we're moving through, you know, to summer, we start to see less traction in the rec center and we start to see less participation. And it's almost like, you know, you're saying, Charles, people that keep those lasting behavioral habits are going to keep coming in through our doors or doing other things. But then we kind of like lose a lot of people. And I wonder if, you know, I'm just kind of like thinking out loud, like, I wonder if it is motivation or if we think it's like, oh, I've reached my hump. Let's, you know, let's move on to the next thing. I mean, what do you guys think it is when we start to lose, like people start losing interest in a program or eating healthy or staying mm-hmm. on the right track? I mean, what is that? Is it motivation?
I think it could be motivation. And I think, you know, if we're thinking about other factors, sometimes it could just be they've naturally hit whatever that landmark they were mm-hmm. they were trying to hit, whether it was like, oh, my daughter's wedding or,
oh, yeah.
you know, something like that.
Fitting into that dress. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I feel like it's so multifaceted for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It seems a lot of times we put these very specific due dates, which we kind of are supposed to do that, right? SMART
sure.
goals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But like, how do we transform beyond that? How do mm-hmm. we make those SMART goals a smaller part of a bigger picture?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's part of it. And I also think, you know, especially looking around the rec center, mm-hmm. a lot of these students they focus very much on adapting a very intense mm-hmm. lifestyle to mm-hmm. reach that goal. So mm-hmm. it's very intense, you know, strict dieting or very intense 7 days a week mm-hmm. in the gym. And they're having a hard time finding that balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also a factor as well.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, literally, you know, walking past the weight room, you know, going to my office, and I'll glance over and like, I see mostly students in there and faculty staff, but just lately mostly students. And it's so interesting because I remember, like, I had the energy level and I could go to the rec and I could do class here, class there. I just like never got tired. It was like mm-hmm. I just had the energy. And I think as we mature, that's just something that changes. For some people, it doesn't. And that's like a whole nother topic to cover. But I don't know. It definitely could be the motivation. So I'm kind of curious, when we decided we were going to talk about motivation, it's the, oh my gosh, what's our theory called? I just blanked. Oh, it's right here. Self-determination theory. I'm clearly not determined to remember things, and I don't know what that means. But yeah, self-determination theory. So Charles, you brought this up. You teach a lot on it. What is that?
Yeah, so first off, self-determination theory is actually a theory about behavior change. Mm-hmm. It's kind of in that realm. And it wasn't created by fitness professionals. Mm-hmm. It was actually created by some psychologists. Mm-hmm. And what I like it because of the name.
Yeah.
It sort of hijacks the idea of motivation and it changes it to self-determination.
Uh-huh.
And I like that because I think that motivation itself has become a buzzword
yes.
where it's a very specific feeling, it's magical, it's very energetic,
mm-hmm.
While self-determination is a bit more gritty and it's about mm-hmm. How to push through something mm-hmm. rather than just doing something or feeling the right type of way to do something. Mm-hmm. So self-determination basically says, you know, what are the different kinds of motivation and how do we use that to persevere?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just going to say, I think maybe we cover that on the next segment.
Yeah, we definitely need to take a break. But, you know, I'm just like, my brain is like moving through all the things because, you know, when we're talking about motivation as a buzzword, you know, we usually think of that as like, in many ways, it's an emotion. It's a fleeting emotion. Yeah. And I really like the way you said the descriptor of gritty for a self-determination.
Yeah.
Like, that was on point.
Yeah.
Look at me saying like...
Grit.
Catchy things.
Yeah,
yes,
gritty.
All the things. But, okay, before I start saying more silly things, we're just going to take a break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Friend, you're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and we have our third co-host, honorary co-host,
yes.
Charles Burroughs from University Recreation, who is a fitness services coordinator there. 9 years of personal training and fitness, started with his own, you know, goals and journey to become healthier, and now this is what he does with his life and his job, and has trained and worked with people, and it's pretty dang cool to have a job like that. And I do the same thing. Sheena gets to work with people as well. It's pretty cool. But we're talking about like how to stay motivated. And I think for us, a lot of times, you know, just speaking on our side of things, it's kind of hard for us to stay motivated as well if we're supposed to be the motivators. And so, Charles, we have on our little cheat sheet here different types of motivation. And can you kind of give us an idea of, you know, what they are and how to like kind of use them, I guess?
Sure, yeah. So the self-determination theory we talked about before last break, part of what this theory says is that there's two parts of motivation or two sources that we derive motivation from. Those are those autonomous sources, which is basically from within. And then there are controlled motivation, which is where we get motivation from something outside of ourselves. You know, in that autonomous motivation or intrinsic motivation, we typically think of those as like that little voice inside our whenever I'm talking with our fitness staff, I joke that it's that neuroticism in us when we're being neurotic and we can't help but like be pushed to do something. That is intrinsic motivation, right? If you have a voice inside your head that doesn't let you not be successful, right? You know, like those students who are really awesome and they're awesome because they can't stand the thought of making a B. We all know students like that if it wasn't us ourselves. That is intrinsic motivation. And sometimes intrinsic motivation can be negative, right? We feel a certain way about ourselves, and so we're trying to push through that. But that is an autonomous motivation. And one thing that this theory does say is that autonomous motivation is actually the strongest form of motivation that we get. And it usually lasts longer. Controlled motivation is those videos, those TikToks, those things that we watch that get us hyped up for an hour or two, but it's typically fleeting. So controlled motivation is sort of when we expose ourselves to things that are outside of us.
What motivates y'all? Like, I'm just curious. Like, let's say to work out or to be physically active. We won't say work out, but like to be physically active and move your bodies. Like, what motivates you guys?
I think for me personally, and then again, I'm getting up in the age, it really is more about health and quality of life and this motivating factor of, I want to live for my kids, I want to live for my husband, as opposed to, I want to weigh X amount or look a certain way. Like, those are great little cherry topping benefits, but really when it comes to motivation now to be physically active, it is this intrinsic, like, I want to do well because I want to set a good example for my kids, be healthy, that kind of type stuff.
And it's also, you know, as you get older, because your views change and you have more on your plate, it's almost like your views just change because of that. Like, you can't really think the same way as you once did. What about you, Charles?
Yeah, so I think it's a combination of autonomous or internal resources, or excuse me, sources. So, you know, one of them is my own, like, mental health. I notice that I am a more positive person when I exercise regularly. I have ADHD, so it helps me to focus when I exercise regularly. And also it's that I guess there's an external component where I do this for a living, mm-hmm. and if I don't do this myself, how can I help other mm-hmm. people?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. a lot of it is I've got to do this because it helps me be better at my mm-hmm. job.
Yeah.
So it's a combination.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm curious, for new client intake forms, are there questions that kind of ask people about that, where you kind of know what's mm-hmm. in their head that's motivating them, or is that more of a situation where, as the trainer is building that rapport with the client, it's more of a conversation, kind of pulling that information out from them?
Typically, it's that other part. You know, mm-hmm. we ask them what their goals are, but part of what our trainers are supposed to do and should do is to sit down and kind of get those more motivating factors, because sometimes it's hard to put on a piece of mm-hmm. paper.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah, this is your goal, but why is that your goal? Mm-hmm. What is that underlying driving force that's actually bringing you in? So that is supposed to be something that's more done on a one-on-one personal level with a trainer.
And I think our paperwork is slightly different in the sense that, you know, people that sign up for, you know, personal training, their goals tend to be different. They want to lose weight. They want to, you know, get stronger. With Pilates, it's more, I have this issue that I want to correct, or my doctor has recommended this for me. Mm-hmm. And I have a question that is, what motivated you to join Pilates Reformer with us at UREC? And that's usually, it's like, I saw it on TikTok, because like we're super, uh-huh. it's super fancy on TikTok right now.
It's very relevant
right now. It's very relevant right now. Or you want Gwen Stefani abs, because, and for the record, like, she does way more than just Pilates for those abs, just so you know. But we're very different. And a lot of times people will say for us that they were motivated to join because their friends do it, because we yeah. do group sessions. And so there's a community and a social aspect about it, and you just feel good. But I think I'm kind of like both of you guys. I actually just like moving my body because I really just enjoy it. Like, yeah. I don't think there's any type of motivating factor. This sounds bad, but like, I don't ever think of it in the sense of, you know, I don't have kids, so I don't think of it that way. But I think of it as, I just genuinely feel like I have to. Like, I feel good when I do it. So whatever your motivation is, keep doing it. So I kind of want to talk about, you know, we've got this really beautiful little graph-ish thing on our paper that talks about the self-determination theory. And you mentioned, Charles, that this could, you know, autonomy and competence and relatedness, those three things could really take a lot of time. So we can start diving into those now.
Sure.
But just autonomy, I mean,
yeah, so at the basis of this theory, it basically says that we need these three things mm-hmm. to be self-determined, to mm-hmm. persevere, to stay motivated, right? And the first one is autonomy, and that's not to be confused with autonomous motivation. What we mean by autonomy is we're saying we have the choice to be here.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I see time and time again is those clients who are the least successful is the ones where someone is making them come up, right?
Sure.
Whether it's their spouse who bought them training sessions.
Hey, honey,
like,
I bought you personal training
yeah.
sessions.
Oh, yeah. When that happens, I'm like, oh, goodness, this client's going to take some work.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we have students who parents are like, you put on 15 pounds your first
yes.
year. You need to train. Mm-hmm. What this theory says is if you didn't have the choice, mm-hmm. you're not sticking around.
Exactly.
And it's as soon as a roadblock comes up, as mm-hmm. soon as something happens, you're out. And that's true. We think mm-hmm. about that. That's one thing I love about this theory mm-hmm. is it logically makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we see
oh,
it
yeah.
time and time again, is if you don't have the choice to stick with something, then a lot of times you don't have really mm-hmm. any kind of real motivation to stick
mm-hmm.
around.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's that first component that's really important is autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
It says, do I have the choice to be here?
Mm-hmm.
And how strong is that choice? You know, how much freedom did I have to make that choice?
I think about like our friends that are in recovery, like,
mm-hmm.
and my brother always tells me this, like, if you're doing it, you have to do it for yourself. If you
yes.
don't do it for yourself, you're not going to stick with it. And so I think that goes for really anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So competence.
Competence, we'll dive right in. So it's funny, you know, that's, you kind of mentioned part of it is I just like moving my body. That's
mm-hmm.
why I do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, competence says, you know, how effective am I at doing this?
Mm.
And I think that's one thing that draws us fitness professionals who've been doing this a long
mm-hmm.
time to continue doing it is that we have that competence.
Mm-hmm.
But what this theory says is that without that understanding of what we're doing as being effective, that we're not going to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot of sense, right? If my goal is to lose 20 pounds by this date, if I don't feel like I'm doing it effectively, why
mm-hmm.
would I be determined
mm-hmm.
to stick with it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. No, I mean, just, I know we're about to have to go into a break before we go into the relatedness, but I think even just with what you've talked about so far, it seems so common sense, but I think the fact that it is so common sense, we're not always actively thinking about that. We don't think about that as our why and these components to everything. And I know after the break, Charles, I have some questions about, you know, what got you on this theory? How did you discover it? You know, you came in with your glasses on today and I was like, okay, he is ready to party.
The glasses are on top of the head.
Yes, like, we're serious. And you are so research focused. And I think that's what's really neat about seeing how you've thrived in your role, really bringing that knowledge to your clients, to our employees, to our students. But yeah, I could say all the things, but we got to take a break.
Let's do it.
You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied. And if it sounds like sometimes we kind of like lag a little between our responses, the studio is very hot today. And we usually don't turn the air on or the heat because it makes noises in the background. So if we kind of zone out a little bit, it's because it's very warm. Just thought I'd let you guys know. But I think we're doing a good job.
Yes.
That was perfect. Okay.
The timing was on point.
The timing was on point. Yeah. Sorry if I just laughed super loud in your car because I leaned right into the mic, guys. Okay. So self-determination theory with Charles Burroughs, and we are working on motivation. And so the third component is relatedness.
Relatedness. You know, this one often gets overlooked. And it's a very simple idea where if someone perseveres, if someone wants to stick with something, they need to feel like they belong to that thing. And the thing I think about the most with this is, you know, picture you're that new client who has never worked out before. You know, maybe you're a bit overweight or you're self-conscious about your body. And then you walk into the gym, right? It's your first time there. The lights are down low. There's this studio vibe. There's that, you know, that kind of music going on. And you look around and every single person has glimmering abs, bulging biceps, and they look like they're all oiled up for a photo shoot.
And like the special clothes and all that kind of stuff.
And how do you expect that person to feel like they belong there?
Sure.
And that's really hard and something we don't think about when we've been doing this for a long time. Something I sometimes forget about, right? Because in a lot of ways, I feel like I belong in the gym because I've worked at one for so long. But a lot of people don't feel that when they first come in. And you know, maybe they have autonomy. Maybe they're choosing to be at the gym. Maybe they have competence and they've got this plan in front of them that they know will work because someone told them it will. But they don't feel like they belong. And if they don't, how are they going to stay self-determined to stick with this when they walk into a room and they feel like they just aren't a part of the group?
Go ahead, Sheena.
Well, I was just going to say, now, do you think when people get over that hump and they are officially part of that community, you know, when I'm thinking about boutique fitness places or just gyms in general, you know, they have this large like social media presence and this way of like wanting to engage their members and to like put out there that you are part of our community, like
CrossFit.
Own it. Like you are part of this specific box. Like, here we go. Like, do you think that like they know that if their members feel like they are part of something, they're going to stick with it?
Absolutely. You know, they may not know the psychology behind it, but they know. And that is what makes CrossFit and all these other gyms so popular. You know, Orange Theory Fitness, it's not that they have this magical recipe of workouts that's going to make you in shape. It's they understand how to create this amazing community where as soon as you walk in, you feel like you belong. You know, they ask how you're doing. They welcome you with open arms.
You get
they give you a hug. They give you a sticker, right? They understand how to make you belong. And I think a lot of gyms might struggle with that. And the ones that are successful are really good at that.
And it's very specified. You know, like a gym, just in general, if you were to go to like a Crunch or a Planet Fitness, because it's a gym setting, unless it's like something very specific, that's why CrossFit always comes to mind. You just don't go anywhere and do CrossFit. You have to go to a CrossFit gym. You know, you have to go, you know, do their workout, the workout of the day. Orange Theory is the same way. And I think there's, that might work well for some people. For me, I don't really care either way. I just know I need a room with some mirrors and a floor to do yoga or Pilates. But some people may like to go to that type of gym because they feel a part of something. They feel welcomed in that environment.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We talked about how I've transformed since I first started all this. When I first started, I was very judgmental to a specific gym, Planet Fitness. And the reason I was judgmental was in my mind, I was like, they don't want people who are professionals there. They don't, you know, they give people Twinkies and pizza. And in my mind, I was like, this is so stupid. Like, they aren't trying to actually help people change. Right. But what I realized is that's one thing that Planet Fitness strives for, is they want to create this environment that is friendly and that it belongs. And so you walk in and you don't feel like you're being judged. And it took me a very long time to understand that's what they're trying to do.
No, I think I'm the same way. By the way, both our husbands go to Planet Fitness. Yes. And they always see each other and they're like, what up, bro? You know. Anyway, totally funny. But yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that that's some of the stigmas that come behind fitness. And unfortunately, we've all been a part of that. When you're first getting into it, you have a mindset of what you think you know and how it is. And I like the boutiques. I really do, because I think if it gives somebody a place to exercise and feel like they're part of the community, like, why not? You know?
And that's one thing I've seen with every single gym or place that I've worked with is that when that sense of belonging is created, people come. And it no matter where it's been, whether it was that boutique gym with the lights down low, if you can successfully create that, people are going to stick around. And that's not just stick around with their membership, but they're going to stick around with their goals, and they're going to be more determined to stick with things because they know other people are counting on them, and they know that other people are, you know, happy to see their face.
Go ahead,
Jen. I was going to ask, so with the rec center in particular, do y'all see those clusters of community within the rec center as far as like patrons that, you know, come at the same time or, you know, or maybe from like a specific program like Summer Heat or whatever else where they've kind of made this like community within a community type situation? I don't know.
I think for us, because we are so big, it depends on what type of thing you're into. So if you go to Group X classes and you go to Days classes with Adam or Lindsay, that's a very specific community. And there's been a lot of people that have become really good friends from that, or like the deep water class at the Aquatic Center. They have their own Facebook page. They like, they're friends. Nice. They like do their thing.
I was just thinking of that group in particular because they are amazing. You go for your first time and they're like, oh, welcome to our class.
Super inviting. And they're not, like, we don't even ask them to do that. They just enjoy what they do. Pilates is the same way, you know?
Yeah, personal training. Yeah. You know, I think out in the sea of the weight room that it is during peak hours, that sometimes gets lost.
Right.
But you know, I usually work out in the mornings twice a week with a friend out in the weight room. And I see it there too. You know, there's a group of the regulars who they're always happy to see each other, and they're, you know, they're, it's up, bro, it's up, bro.
But
that community, that relatedness, it's absolutely there.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's harder to find when you walk into such a big weight room. You've got to know how to seek it out.
Also, when you're in a gym, you're feeling good. Like, let's not forget, if you're not hopped up on like free workouts and you're like going in, or like you just do a little warm up with some cardio, your endorphins kick in very quickly to where you feel awesome. And so you're just willing to like chit chat and talk to people and life's great. So I mean, it's a natural response to the body to want to be around people, but then you put in exercising and physical activity and then the chemistry happens. It's a great place, you know?
I'm sold. I mean, I just, even the other day when I came to drop off a book to you and I took it to Michaela's office when I was walking back, I was like, I just feel like I need to put some workout clothes on right now and get it done. Like, everybody looked so just, like, determined.
Yeah, and I think for us at the rec center, it has really shifted to where, like, we do see more females in the weight room, sometimes more than the guys. And I think that's been kind of nice. Just people are learning how to move their bodies and lift weights, and it's, I mean, it's been great. So, Charles, I'm kind of curious, you know, with this self-determination theory, how do you apply this when you're working with clients or like when you're teaching your personal training prep course? Like, how do you integrate this? Because we can talk about it all day long, but then we got to actually like somehow put this theory into action, I guess. I don't know.
You know, in this prep course, we spend a lot of time discussing this because how do we take these ideas and make them more tangible? You know, and I think a lot of it is, how do we instill these things into our clients? So the autonomy one's tough. Because a lot of times they didn't choose to be there, but from a trainer standpoint, it's asking them and then reminding them, hey, this, it's your choice to be here. When we're doing burpees and you mm-hmm. hate burpees, remember, it's your choice. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good to reflect on that regularly because there is something very empowering about remembering, this is my choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. sure, I committed to this. Yeah, sure, I signed up. But ultimately, I got in my car, I chose to come here. Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said about that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is just reminding people of that. Mm-hmm. In terms of competence, it's the trainer is often the one providing that. You know, a lot of times people, when they come in for personal training, they are at that bottom point when it comes to competence where they don't feel like what they've done has worked. Mm-hmm. And they need someone to provide the effectiveness. Mm-hmm. And so as a trainer, it's providing that for them and then also educating them so that they feel like they have that moving forward. Mm-hmm. Because the information's out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is it's perceived competence. It's mm-hmm. perceived autonomy. It's perceived relatedness. So it's how do we help them to perceive it and to accept it mm-hmm. and to understand it's there. Mm-hmm. And then that relatedness, it's just helping them feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, for us at the rec center, we're really lucky in that we have a personal training studio. Mm-hmm. And that's really nice because that environment is very welcoming for our clients if the weight room doesn't feel mm-hmm. that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, sometimes it's about perception, mm-hmm. right? And if you don't feel like you belong in the weight room, the having that private space is really helpful to feel more like you belong. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I am just, I feel smarter, as I always do every
do you
time
feel
you
motivated?
Come. I do feel motivated. Good. I really do. And, you know, I know we've got to take a break and then we've got our short segment, but Charles, we'd love to ask you about some upcoming programs that may be, you know, rolling out in the spring semester, things we can look forward to in the summer. But y'all, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied, and hopefully you are feeling self-determined to start working out and, you know, start, you know, maybe eating some healthy things, some fruits and vegetables, which we didn't really talk a lot about food today. We were just so in the fitness realm.
We were in the fitness zone, but
we were.
Next week, because we'll be talking about National Nutrition Month, because
yes.
we'll be in March.
Yes.
I've got some nutrition tips coming. So,
love it.
Yeah, so we're gonna cover all the things. But Charles, so if we've got listeners who are like, oh my goodness, now I am motivated, mm-hmm. I see the light, mm-hmm. what kind of programs are coming up or, you know, ongoing that someone could potentially jump into? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, well, for one, we do have a personal training special going on. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's only until Tuesday or Wednesday, mm-hmm. but it's till the end of the month. And it is 6 sessions for $120, which is an absolute steal. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that we're trying to do is try to bring in some more new clients to Rec Center. We got a lot of young, eager, new trainers that are awesome. And so we need some clients to set with them. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, we do also have our summer heat program in the summer mm-hmm. that'll be later going on. Mm-hmm. I guess that's summertime though. So for the semester, we do have something called Round the Rec that we're really excited about coming soon mm-hmm. in April. And it's sort of like almost like a Spartan race, but it's an obstacle course that's gonna mm-hmm. go all around the property of the rec center. Mm-hmm. So there's gonna be tires, there's gonna be a football throw. There's gonna be a lot of stuff, and it's timed and it's competition. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Competition. That's
hey.
What make America, it makes America great.
It does. You know? And also, that is so true. But also, like, self-determination theory. Yes. I mean, a little competition also helps to fuel mm-hmm. that for some of you guys that are super competitive. So I was kind of curious. I know the last time you were on the show, last semester, mm-hmm. of course, you're our first guest of this semester, I believe. I think you're yes. our very first guest of this semester. Very
yeah,
cool. Well, last semester, we asked you, like, what gets you hyped? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of our mm-hmm. question. We really don't have, like, a very fancy question, but with it being a new semester and in the spring, a new year, yeah. do you have a goal that you're working on that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, sure. So I don't necessarily have a fitness specific mm-hmm, goal, mm-hmm. But I have lately had a more nutrition goal.
Okay.
And it's two parts. One is to cut back on caffeine okay. and just stimulants in general. And then also number two is to cut down on sugar. Mm-hmm. I mentioned before in the episode, I've got ADHD mm-hmm. and I'm starting to learn more about some of the effects that things like sugar
yes.
has on focus. And so I'm trying to clean up my diet a little mm-hmm. more just to help with mental focus, mm-hmm. mental acuity. So I'm more effective at work and in my workouts. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's more of a nutrition and brain stuff.
Nice. And I have no doubt that it is centered around a SMART-based goal.
Yes, it is.
But no, I love that. Now, Whitney, I think we've asked each other this, and I'm like thinking about like our last little moments. Do you have a goal for 2023? Have I already forgotten it?
You know me. I like come up with stuff. Well, I will say this. A professional goal is I will be testing out this year with my comprehensive Pilates training, and that's taken me a while to do. I've got one more training to do in March, and I will go for test out, which just means, if you're not familiar, it just means that like you can move on every apparatus, you're fully naturally qualified. So I've been working on that. I honestly think I'm around the same lines as Charles. I've been trying to really kind of watch my sugar because I realize it makes me feel really bad. And this is coming from a girl that could eat like two full bowls of ice cream.
Sure.
That like I bought some Girl Scout cookies the other day and ate like three and I felt really like crappy. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to start to incorporate a healthy choice. How about some yogurt? And I don't like yogurt, but I found some that I like. So I'm trying to make my sugar choice a healthier option to fuel my body.
And that's a win.
Yeah. What about you?
I think so. From a professional goal standpoint, I don't know if I've mentioned on the show that I'm working on my certification to be a certified intuitive eating group facilitator
and counselor.
So I can have those official credentials. And then I'd say, nutrition-wise, I've been doing a lot of presentations lately, and specifically with our faculty staff, on something called the MIND Diet. Mm. It's a combination of the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet, and it aims to help prevent cognitive decline. Mm. So it's really trying to emphasize getting a lot more antioxidant intake from certain fruits and vegetables, and then reducing intake of other foods that introduce a lot of free radicals in the body. Mm. So like fried food is one of the biggest things that they really emphasize to individuals to reduce. So, you know, incorporating a lot more of those recommendations as I think about, say, with my grandma passing and having dementia and really trying to be forward thinking with that.
I will say this. The husband is now starting to eat more vegetarian things because he has. We're just trying to be healthier and it's been going very well. Not saying we're not eating meat at all, but like bacon's not allowed in the house anymore. At least you put it that
way. On that note, I think y'all, that was a great show.
Yes.
You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.